Okay, after the thousand-year reign, we have to go to Revelation chapter 20 and see what the end of the end brings. Because we have to finally see what that the devil gets his deserved end. Revelation 20 and verse 7. And when the thousand years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, and to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. What? He gets loose for a little season, and the first thing that he does, excuse me, is go out and try to deceive the nations again. And he tries to gather them all to battle, to fight again.
Just sore losing.
Oh, he's terrible. But this is what happens. Verse 9, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. God goes, that's it. You're done. And so he never actually really gets to do very much at all. He thinks he's going to, but the fire comes down. And this is what's called in the word the day of God Almighty, because Almighty means holder of all. It's the day that God shows, I am the ultimate God of gods. And okay, so then verse 10, the next thing that happens, it says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now some people teach, this is a common question, is that, you know, when it says he's tormented forever and ever, that means, like, for all eternity, he's going to be burning in fire. And they got that picture, I believe, well, I know that one of the major authors who promoted this everlasting fire thing and the purgatory and all that was Dante. He wrote a book called Dante's Inferno, right? Yeah.
That's what it was called.
What?
The Divine Comedy. That's actually
the Divine Comedy, yeah. Okay. And he's the one who promoted this idea that there was this lake of fire and it was going to burn and burn and burn and burn, and that people were going to get thrown in there too, which there is, okay? But the lake of fire, it doesn't really explain what it is exactly. Like, I went to go look on the internet to see what some pictures were, and there's this big lake with fire is coming out. And up until now, the only two guys in there are the Antichrist and the false prophet, right? This is the place where Satan, or the evil one, is thrown into the lake of fire. And the way I look at it is, outside of Jerusalem, it was called the Valley of Hinnom, where you get the word Gehenna. And it was a garbage dump. And it's where they brought all the garbage from the city out to this dump, and the fire was always burning to burn up the garbage. And basically the description of the lake of fire and brimstone is like this garbage dump. It's where everything evil that God has dealt with is going to get burned up. And however long the garbage burns is however long it's going to be. But by the time you get to the new heaven and new earth, there's not going to be lake of fire still sitting there. You know, at that point, the garbage will have already been all burned up. So that's what it means forever and ever. It means for the end of the age, or for the age. And the age is going to end when the new heaven and new earth is established. So it's not torment forever and ever and ever. Now I want to read to you Ezekiel chapter 28, because this is what happens to the devil, and it's a description of exactly how he gets destroyed in a little bit different way than the lake of fire idea, but it's basically saying the same thing. Ezekiel 28 and in verse 18. It says, Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Hallelujah! So, now, the only thing left is the telos, the end point. And the last thing that happens here, we have to go back to Revelation chapter 20 again, is that there is a resurrection of the unjust. You know, Trish was talking about the resurrection of the just, which was Israel, prior to the millennial kingdom. Now we're going to have a resurrection of everybody else who was dead, who needs to be resurrected. And it's called the Great White Throne Judgment. It's the last judgment. In total, there are three different judgments, if you want to write these down. The first one is the church of the body is us, right? We are judged for rewards at the Bema. After the gathering together, the first thing that happens is that all of us will be judged only for rewards. And anything bad we've ever done will be burned up, right? And not counted. So we will be given rewards during that judgment. The second judgment is the judgment of nations, which happens right after the battle. It's the judgment of the Gentile nations on how they treated Israel. And this is the third judgment. It's called the Day of Judgment, where everyone else from every time period, from Adam on down, who has not been raised yet, will be raised, and they will be judged. And they will be judged whether their names are written in the Book of Life or not. Okay, so that's another question that people ask. Well, we don't know, you know, maybe my name isn't in the Book of Life. What shall I do? Well, the Book of Life has nothing to do with us. All right? The Book of Life has to do with every Gentile, every person who ever lived from Adam on down. Their name's either written in the Book of Life and what they did, or it's not. And when this great white throne judgment happens, the books will be opened, they'll look in there, and they'll say, aha, this person. And if they're there, they get to go into the new heaven and earth. And if they're not in there, they go into the lake of fire and the garbage. God has just a wonderful way of justice about this whole thing. So now we have to go. Oh, we didn't read. Did we read?
No.
Okay, so Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell, or the grave, delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and the grave were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The reason why it's called the second death is because first time they died, right? That's the first death. Now, when they get... if they get cast into the lake of fire, that's going to be the second death. And death and the grave, this is when death gets destroyed. And that's what we read about when we read 1 Corinthians 15, when it says, O death, where is thy victory? There's going to be the point, the last enemy that's destroyed is death. And when death is cast into the lake of fire, we're almost at the telos. Now we have to go to 2 Peter. Second Peter describes all the actual end point of the day of the Lord, right before the new heaven and earth is established. 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 12. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, which is supposed to be the day of the Lord right there, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Okay, look back at verse 10. But the day of the Lord, the ending day of the Lord, ending point of the day of the Lord, will come as a thief in the night, in the which, in the day of the Lord, is what it's saying. See, in that very end point of the day of the Lord, the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That's how God's going to purge the earth, is it will be by fire. And the very last thing that will happen is that all the elements of the earth will melt, and then God will usher in a new heaven and a new earth. Look at Isaiah 65. Because what's really interesting, all of these verses we've been reading, right? There's tons of prophecies. I mean, today we have only just touched the surface of a lot of the different things that are in the Old Testament. We have the whole book of Revelation. There's things in Psalms. There's things in the Gospels. There's things all through the Word about what's going to happen after the gathering together. Isn't that amazing that there's so much? But what's really interesting is there's not very much about the new heaven and earth. It just says there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and it will be for eternity. This one place here, verse 17 in Isaiah 65, it just says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." And I think that that's God's gracious answer to what's going to happen. You can see on your chart, I just put the new heaven set up and eternity. We don't know what eternity is going to be like, but we do know that there will be no more tears, and there will be no more sorrow, and there will be no more death. And praise God. So right now, Bob's going to come up, and he's going to kind of wrap up the afternoon, and then we'll have a little bit of time for questions. But God bless you.